Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
So, over the last couple of Sundays, we've been looking at really the value and the tremendous privilege, if you like, of being in the body of Jesus. And those of you that may know a little bit of the Bible, obviously Jesus lived for about 33 years, did all kinds of incredible things. He used his hands, he used his feet, he used his eyes, he used his mouth, he used his position, he used his walk with God, he used his influence of the Holy Spirit, who is God, and he transformed the society that he was put into, both then and from then. And our kind of pitching point for the last 2 weeks has been, as his body was, so this body should be today. The Bible's, I'm going to walk in front of this. The body of Christ today should be exactly the same as the body of Christ was when Jesus was in his humanity. And we looked at the first week about how we think about being a Christian. How do we think about being in this tremendous organism called the body of Christ? Last week, there's a whole load of people actually brought the message last week, if you remember. I spoke for 12 minutes, but the message was actually 40 minutes long. And there was all kinds of testimonies from people who had lost a job 1 minute and got it back within a week. Some people that had kind of been healed of this and healed of that. We had loads of testimonies about how, one example for those that maybe weren't here last week is Richard said, can we have a volunteer from the men's group to give a testimony? And 11 people scrummed up the front. I thought it was awesome. It's like, this is amazing. So should I tackle them? Should I jump on them? That's talking about how when we're together, love is made real by putting pressure on it. Jesus didn't tell a single person that he loved them, ever. These 33 and a half years, he never told anybody that he loved them, but everybody knew that he did. And everybody knew that he did by how he was. And how he was with them and how he was from them. But Jesus didn't actually say, I love you. It's interesting because a few people that were around him, one of the disciples called John in particular, he called himself, I am the person who Jesus loved. Well, I think I'm that person too. And I think if you know Jesus, it's also true for you. So John picked up something then, which we need to pick up now, is actually I'm the one he loved. Okay, just three of us, that's fine. I want to be the one that Jesus loves. I want to be the one who knows that I can access the very heartbeat of God. It said that John used to rest his head on the breast or in the place of intimacy, if you like, from between a man and a man. It was a tremendous connection point. Well, I want to live like that. I don't want to live just at the feet of Jesus. We had a great time, half an hour ago in the worship where we approached and touched the feet of Jesus. That's awesome. But I love the fact that we can lay our head on his chest. That's a place of intimacy where we hear the heartbeat, where we pick up the resonance of God's love, where we pick up his thoughts, if you like. And I love that Jesus has put us in the body, not just so that we can do stuff, but we can be stuff together. Is that okay? So today I'm going to look at following on from this word that I left you with last week, which was devotion. Devotion. There's nothing going to come up behind me because I haven't given him any clues at all. But if you can find Acts 2:42 in English and then in German, then in Greek, that'd be awesome. But we're going to look at a little bit today about an equation. If you want to write this equation down, you can. If you don't want to, it's fine. Ask Andrea and she'll tell you at the end. This equation looks like this. Kingdom thinking plus devotion to God plus brokenness from myself equals my world is changed. I'll just read that through again because you wouldn't have got that one. This equation is kingdom thinking. So the way I think, devotion to God, what motivates me, plus I'm not living for myself, but I'm living for others, equals our world is changed. So there are three conditional parts of this formula, but one deliberate result. Our world is changed. Or if you want it another way, the world that we live out of will overtake the spirit of the world that we live in. the world that I live out of, how I let God speak to me, use me, will overtake the spirit of the world that I might live in. We all live in a world which is broken. We're all born in a world that is broken. And yet it's always been God's passion, and expressed this through Jesus, that he wants us to belong to a world that is not broken. Which is why Jesus gave himself on the cross 2,000 years ago plus, so that in that demonstration, a broken life could be made whole. Everybody knows the Easter story. It's not just about bunnies and eggs. It's not an Easter story today. It's about how do I live then in the body of Christ today in these three ways. I have kingdom thinking. I'll just give you a little example of what kingdom thinking is. And again, it follows on from how we pray. Is kingdom thinking says this: whatever it looks like today, I will win tomorrow. Kingdom thinking says this: whatever the storm of my life is, I will cross over to the other side. What kingdom thinking says is, even though the city of my family, my household, my workplace might be tightly shut up, we will see God's victory there. What kingdom thinking says is that when I look at the mirror in my life, I see more than a conqueror looking at me, not just a conqueror. That's kingdom thinking. Kingdom thinking is bigger and more diverse than our natural thinking. It's not about intellect, it's about thoughts of faith. It's about the thoughts of God can do something, and he can do something not just to me, but through me. And then the last part, the last description I use kind of personally in my day-to-day is that kingdom is always advancing. It doesn't work in a traffic light. It doesn't work in times and seasons. It doesn't work through feelings. It doesn't work through atmospheric pressure. The kingdom, Jesus says, is always advancing. How many of you know that if the kingdom is always advancing, and if we think kingdom thoughts, we're also going to start advancing? So in other words, I don't make progress because of my ability. I make progress because I'm part of something bigger than me. It's called the kingdom. And I don't know whether I said this to you on this Sunday, I'm just going to repeat it again, is that on our own, we can run really fast, but together we can run further. And the London Marathon has been going for a couple of hours. The first person would have won it by now, right? Do it in about 2 hours 10, which is quick. However, I can guarantee that that one person would not have started at the front and stayed at the front for the whole 26.7 miles. They'd have run in a pack. Why? Because they know they can run further together. They've only got to run fast for the last 200 metres. That's how it must be with us. It's that sometimes the person sat on your seat might be having a great time with God. Everything might be great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The next day it's not. And if you know that you need a friend then. You need someone that can just say, okay, your glass is still full. You might think it's empty. The second thing is this kind of heart-to-heart thing, this devotion, and this is this scripture that we're going to look at in a moment, is we need to be devoted to someone. I think most of us spend a lot of time, I don't want to use this word religious, but it can become religious, we're devoted to what we do on a Monday. It's the same as the last 20 Mondays. We're devoted to what we do on a Tuesday. It's similar to what we've done on the last 20 Tuesdays. There can become a devotion which can start with a passion but end up quite religious. I always sit here. This is how I always do what I always do. Why? Because our experience tells us it works. Might not be successful, but it tells us it works. What I've found is that Jesus never did the same thing twice in the same way. He never healed people in the same way twice. He never provided for people in the same way twice. He actually never raised the dead people up in the same way twice. Why? Because he realized that there was something in his heart about devotion to God and devotion to people that was very, 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 very spontaneous. Do you love it when the suddenly of God comes? Some of you do, some of you don't. Like me, it depends what it is. we can have a great old time when Jesus then suddenly, woohoo, hello, where's God? Aren't you really pleased that Jesus doesn't say, where are you? He did a while ago when Adam went off for a wander and God says, where are you, Adam? And it snuck off. I have a personal philosophy that if when God created man and then out of man created woman, if God would have said to Adam and Eve, you can do whatever you want, but don't eat snakes. Is that an ice cream man? God should have said to Adam and Eve, you can have any fruit from any plant that you want, you can walk where you want, but don't eat snakes. You have to think about that one. That would have been awesome, wouldn't it? This little snake would have come across and Adam would have eaten it. Sorry, that's too deep for some of you. Or maybe it's not deep enough. But this word devotion, let me put it like this. It's what makes me make the choices that I make. It's what makes me make the choices that I make. We find out what we're devoted to because of what we do. Jesus is devoted to you. He doesn't just say it or send it with flowers, great tulips, but Jesus had to do more than just say, I really love you. He had to do something. And this whole word devotion means I need to do something with my passion. If you've got my Discover 3 today, we'll help unlock what some of those passions are and some of the things that you can do with those. Because in the body of Christ, we are a passionate people. Well, I'm English. Not anymore, you're not. Well, I come from Australia. Not anymore, you don't. We have a new passport and it's stamped Kingdom. We have a new name on it and it's called Terry in Christ. Or Andrea, who is the answer to all our problems in Christ. Do you understand that? So this devotion comes out of a sense of, I just want to be part of the body. I love it. It's not something that I attend, it's something that I am. So I don't go to small groups, I am a small group. I don't go to church, I am church. I don't go to Sundays, we are Sundays. Have you got that? So in Acts 2:42, and his scripture's come up behind me because Jonathan is on it like a rash. One of the things which we can sometimes get a bit mistaken about is that we put a lot of value in the things that we're devoted to and less value on being devoted to them. Was that a great prayer meeting? I have no idea. Did you get what you asked for? Well, that was a great lot of teaching, or that was rubbish. Oh no, but have you done what you've heard? So this word devotion, if we approach with a devoted heart, it changes what we get from God and what we get from each other. You know, we have 6 grandchildren, you know, we have 3 children, they're all married. Devotion doesn't stop through age. As parents, I know that we're just as devoted to them now as we were when they were young. So devotion doesn't come and go over age. Devotion is a choice. I'm going to do whatever I can do to make you better. I'm going to serve in whatever way I can to make you bigger, because the kingdom is advancing. I'm not just going to come to prayer meetings. It's great that you do that. But man, I'm just going to pray because I want you to get what God has for you. I'm not just going to come to a Bible study and do this theme and that theme and this study and that study. Man, I want to live the word of God so you can read it on my life. That's what devotion does. Devotion does this. In exactly the same way as I'm devoted to God, you benefit or not. It's proportionate. If I'm devoted to prayer, then you're going to benefit from that. If I'm not, you won't. If we're devoted to living the Word of God, somebody next to you is going to benefit from that, or they're not if we don't. If we are devoted to the purpose of when God gave his life, and we're reminded of that when we break bread, and we'll be doing that in a few weeks. If I live in the full virtue and value of that, you're going to benefit, but if I don't, you won't. In other words, the things themselves are fairly neutral. It's how I approach them. It's the passion that I put in my heart that determines what comes out of it. Do you understand what I mean by that? Excellent. So in this first piece of scripture that we've got up here in Acts 2, it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, I've mentioned, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. For me, being part of the body of Christ means we can grow. God wants us to grow in truth and in grace. Just like Jesus did in Luke, it said, and he grew in grace and in truth. God wants you, he wants me to grow. He wants us to grow up, to become mature. And maturity has got nothing to do with physical age. Maturity to me is about the level of truth which I apply in an everyday setting. It's not even how much I know the Bible or not, it's how much I live in it or not. So maturity is not about education, it's about how I live out what I believe in the face of the society that I'm living in. Hallelujah. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, Acts 2:42 there, and we grow in truth and in grace. Everyone was filled with awe, and many signs and wonders were performed. When we are devoted, authority becomes real. Authority over sickness, which you have and I have. The right to prevent what we don't want to happen and to permit what we do want to happen becomes very normal. I'll just put it this way, and this is said as a slap in the face, and please don't take it as one. We have the spiritual life and health in our homes that we want to. Because that's part of the body of Christ. We have permission to let stuff in or prevent stuff from coming in. It's about authority. And what these guys understand and what I want to encourage us with is in our own household, in Kingdom Faith, in this part, in this congregation, man, we want to release a vibrancy and an energy and a lifestyle which God has set aside for us. How do we do that? Because I'm devoted to the outcome. I'm devoted to see people grow and prosper. How do people grow and prosper? Well, let's just look at a little bit more. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. We have authority over poverty. There's no lack or need in the body of Christ. Just as Jesus walked around and he had someone looking after his purse and he had a bit of a funny reputation, as some of you might know. But Jesus was generous on all occasions. How many of you want to be generous on all occasions? How many of you know that generous isn't just about finance, it's about attitude to time, talent, and treasure? And again, can't we discover three and we'll help unlock maybe a bit more generosity? You are a generous people. You are a generous person sitting on your seat. You might think, well, I don't have much to give. If you've said it, then you've still got something to give. It's called you. There's you to give. Because as the body of Christ, we have authority over poverty. There is no meeny-weeny concept in Kingdom Faith. Because there isn't one in the kingdom. It's not we haven't got enough. It's actually we've got more than enough. How do we know that's true? Because Jesus says out of his riches, he's given us everything we need for life. How do we know that's true? By applying it. Which is why, Andrew didn't say it today, but sometimes if I'm leading through and it's kind of comes to the offering time, I say, if I haven't got any money, come to me and I'll give you something to put in it. Why? Because we are a generous people, but I'd much sooner we all rocked up and signed up to a small group and helped make that work and help that be pumping and lively and vibrant. So we got loads and loads of testimonies. Why? Because in the body of Christ, you are more valuable than the money in your pocket. You are far more worth than all the money stacked away in your Swiss bank accounts, Andrew. You are more. I love white bank account. Then it goes on. This iPad, come on, iPad. Airplane. Then it goes on and says this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. What does that mean? Well, then it literally meant that in the temple courts. What does it mean today? In his presence. We don't have a temple courts now like they had then, but then we have Jesus differently than they did then. Doesn't it say in Psalms, enter his courts with praise? How do you do that? Have a good attitude. Cheer up. Put a smile on your face. It uses four muscles to smile and 32 to look like a few of you are beginning to, so stop it. four muscles to smile. So let's save L'Oreal a fortune, all right? We don't need those products. You are worth it without it. Every day they continue to meet together. They shared life. This is why we love small groups. Why? Because it's about sharing of life. That's what fellowship means. Fellowship doesn't mean we come and have a bit of this and a bit of that. No, it's like, man, if I haven't changed through my small groups evening, then I haven't contributed into it. Because I want to change. I want to grow. I want to find out how these guys tick and how I tick. How do I do that? By being real and open with each other, which means we've got to be devoted. And I think everybody in this room wants to be devoted to something. I'm just suggesting that we start by being devoted to someone as well. Every day they continued. Every day they were growing in grace. Every day they were growing in truth. This is part of the power of the body of Christ, where there's authority over offense. Offense is a funny thing. Offense is one of those things that separates one boundary from another one. Offense is something which is restrictive. Offense is something which, if you have enough wind, it blows down and people moan because it's not there. Offense is somewhere you can't sit comfortably. Are you getting this? Lord, they've offended me. Get a grip. Be devoted. Nobody in this room is right apart from God. Don't wait until you're right to say sorry. It will never happen. Offense is a lack of forgiveness rather than a problem of sin. But a lack of forgiveness is a sin. So you can have it either way you want. But in me, this showed that we have authority over offense. Some of you probably have been upset through your church experience. Get over it. Get a grip. You can't separate yourself from the body of Christ. Jesus put you in it. He's keeping you in it. He gives you grace to live in it, function in it, grow in it, be healthy in it, contribute towards it. Well, I don't like how they do it. Well, sort your head out then. Church is not for us. It's for God. Remember, it's the body of Christ here on earth. So I sometimes mention offense. I very, very rarely get offended. What I've learned is to get rid of it really quickly. Because try walking down Worthing High Street with a bit of 6x4 fence dragging on you behind you. Not only do you look an idiot, but your walk is affected. Try it. Well, no, don't try, because that would be really stupid. So last Sunday you said, no, I didn't. Just imagine, we're walking into our staff room, and the staff room door is 2'3", and the fence behind us is 5'3". And we've got an offence. Oh, are they upset? Come on, we're devoted, right? I think one of the things which God wants us to learn to grow and prosper in, and this is again why I love the whole small groups, is that we're not to be an offence to the world that we're in. But they will offend you. Can't help it. It's a broken world. But surely there has to be greater love expressed through the body of Christ than the world knows yet. Would that be fair to say? So I love being part of the body of Christ. I love being part of this organism. I love being part of this advancing dynamic. And then it says here, they broke bread in their homes. We're going to be doing that around these guys' gaff on Saturday. And ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's a good thing for you. If you want to come along to an open house, bring a glad and sincere heart with you. If you can't pack food or pizza or chorizo, which I quite like, please pack a glad and sincere heart. If you can't pack that, send a friend instead. Is that right to say? That's not that we want to put people off. But these whole open houses are about having a bit of fun, celebrating who we are together and who God is in the midst of us. And if we have to spend the first 10 or 15 minutes trying to adjust the muscles in your face, it's better to do that on the journey. Is that okay? So please come to all of these, because we love them, we believe in them, but I think there's a principle here. Why? Because God wants to grow you, not just us. For only the second time in 2,000 years is the body of Christ growing quicker than people are being born. for the second time in 2,000 years? Are there more people being born the second time than being born the first? I'm quite encouraged by that. There's been a whole lot of stuff in between where that's not been the case. But in 2000s, 2008 upwards, we've begun to hit. There are now more people. Woohoo! Receiving Christ as Lord and Saviour, being filled with God's power and being added to the church than there are being born. I think there's 70 billion people in the world. Colin probably knows that. Ask him afterwards. If he doesn't know, Andrea will. 7 billion. But this is the first time since about 68 AD where the body of Christ is growing at such a phenomenal rate. Aren't you thankful for that? I am. I'm thankful for that for this reason. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. How many of you know that as a Christian you are favoured? As part of the body of Christ, that favour multiplies, it doesn't just add. And the result of that is the last verse. And the Lord added to their number daily. Remember this formula that I had at the beginning? Said something like this: if I start living with a bit of a kingdom mindset, plus I've got a real devotion for God and for God's people, and I don't live for myself, but I live for them, the world is going to be changed. That was my equation to this scripture. Or, the world that I live out of will overtake the spirit of the world that I live in. Or, how I devote myself to Jesus and to you has a direct effect and influence on how the world sees who Jesus is. And then here's the theological reason behind it. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Fruitfulness doesn't come from program. Fruitfulness doesn't come because we've got ourselves organized. Fruitfulness comes out of health. Health. That's why for us, small groups is our health center. It's where we get healed. It's where we get encouraged. It's where we get championed. It's where we get supported. It's where we deal with a sense of, it's only happening to me. It's where it's, actually I had the hump the other day. Can I just pray? I want to sort this out. It's what's going on. It's what do I do? It's what can I contribute? Small groups for me is an ideal setting for me to grow as one cell in something bigger than myself. As a church, is how we care for you, grow you, pray for you. Know what's going on, not because we're nosy, but we're devoted to that. We want to pray that you grow, prosper. It was interesting, I was chatting with Andrew and Richard the other day. We had such a great time, Easter Sunday, those of you that were here, not here, but just up there. And I think I've probably had the worst 3 weeks since Easter Sunday I've had for years. Oh, it's been a right old mare. If I can say that without offending Mayors. There aren't any ears, so we're all right. We had somebody almost die the same day. They're just a breath away from toast. Good night, Vienna. Several people have. People have got this, that, and the other. God alone knows what, but let me tell you, the kingdom is still advancing. Let me tell you, the body of Christ is still alive and doing very well. Let me tell you that no weapon fashioned against the house shall prosper. Let me tell you that even hell coming out in force shall not prosper against the advancement of God. Because as Jesus' body was, so the body of Christ is today. So it's not that I don't care what's going on in your life, because I do. When I've read the end of the book, you've nicked all my words. It's all right. Like any good book reader, I always want to find out about the author and I want to read the last page to see, is it worth following this? I have read the last page and we win. And I have read the author and he's faithful. And he's for you. He's not against you. He's on your side if you're on his side. So I'm totally convinced that as a group of people, we are indestructible. As long as we're devoted, yes, to God, but also to one another. you might not have had the time, or you might not even be aware, but we record some of our morning kind of chapel services we have at one of our buildings called Ruffey Place. And last Wednesday, Pastor Colin, who's kind of our senior spiritual leader, did a whole session on your life starts as a blank piece of paper every day. And God wants to write on it. There are some kind of watermarks on it, which is the will of God. But actually, he wants to write on your Sunday. But I can tell you the kind of way he'll write it, which is don't give up. Keep going. The best days are ahead of you. If you think this is bad, keep your eyes on me. Keep your focus on me. I am for you. Even if you get it wrong, I can put it right. Even if you blow it, I can still bring good out. On this piece of paper will be things like, if you call upon me, I will hear you. If you ask me, I will listen. If you seek me, you will find me. If you knock on the door, I will open the door. If you devote yourself to me, I will devote myself to you. That's what's written on your page today. Whether you're here for the first time today to Kingdom Faith, or whether you've been loads of times, God wants to write through our devotion a whole chapter that other people can read. Let's all stand up, shall we? So we've had kind of three Sundays about the body of Christ. I love being in the body. Does anybody else love being in the body? I'll tell you what, I love it. I don't really care what part of the body I am. I don't mind being kind of a big toe. I don't mind. I just love to be part of the body. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes a moment. I'm just going to pray. God just given me a couple of people particularly to pray for, if that's okay. So everybody, eyes closed. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you so much that you've put us into a living, vibrant, energetic body called the body of Jesus. I want to thank you that as your body on earth was, so the body of Christ is today. We're not a copy. We're not a replicant. We are as if we are the same as. It's the same as. And I thank you that you're the head of the body, giving direction and vision. But we're the hands and the feet and the heart and the mouth and all these kinds of things you expect us to do. So, Father, I thank you for such a generous spirit in the house here. But, Lord, increase it. I thank you for such a sense of love and family. I just thank you so much for it. And we've kind of seen evidence of it since we started, but Lord, please increase it. I thank you for the love and the forgiveness and the care and the resource that we are to one another, but Lord, please increase it. And I know the only way that you can do that is when you increase and we decrease. So Father, I ask that you increase your influence in my life, through my life. I thank you, Jesus, that you have brought such faith into the house. I thank you for every small group leader that we've honored and recognized today. We just want to pray a rich blessing upon them as they take a little bit of time out or just kind of step back a little bit. As I thank you that they're going to find you in a new way and you're going to find them in a new way. I thank you for the guys that are here from the Bible school, what servants they are, how they just seem to just do stuff, not because it's a job, but because they want to make it happen. So, Father, bless them. I thank you for people. Anybody called Yvonne here? Just put your hand up. Okay, it's all right. Father, I thank you for Yvonne. I thank you that you know her journey. You brought her here for such a time as this. I want to thank you that you've been speaking to her since she arrived, and you're going to speak to her from when she leaves about who you are and about what you've done. I thank you that she's about to turn a corner. It's going to lead into a much more spacious place than she's experienced so far. And what's been a pressure at the moment, yes, it's going to be reduced, but that pressure has produced character in her that without that pressure, never would have done. So I thank you for a turning of the corner for Yvonne. I thank you. That's also true for Patricia. I thank you right now. We just align our faith and our heart and our love with Patricia and her household. And we just declare right now, no weapon fashioned, that whatever has been going on, you will produce good out of it. I want to thank you that she's going to be rejoicing so that we can all rejoice. If she's having a tough time, we align ourselves with that tough time. And we say we love you, we appreciate you, we release faith and grace over you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Vanessa, that this is a year of favor. I thank this is a year of flourishing, of abundant blessing of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for Louisa, for health and life this year. This is going to be a year that is marked with life and health and release and freedom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray for Shane and Marie as well, that this year you're just going to connect them with such influential people in a very simple way. But these influential people are going to unlock provision for them, resources for them, and favor towards them in a new way this year. And I just speak that over your lives, guys. This is your year of favor, where you hit a lot of goals that you've had in your heart. Not near misses, but you're going to hit some goals. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Is anybody blessed in the room yet? If you're not blessed yet, go and have a word with Andrea. She'll get you blessed. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands, shall we? Father, we just want to exalt you right now. Just exalt him in your own words. Just thank him that you're part of the body of Christ. A living organism, vibrant, full of energy, full of the life of God. Come on, ask for a pure heart and a clean spirit if you need to. I just want to be so devoted to you, Jesus. Devoted to one another. Devoted in the workplace, in the church place, in the house place. Laura, God is turning. Yeah, God is turning back things that have been set under assignment against you. Particularly stealing stuff from your head, your mind. And today, it changes. We thank you for turning around over Laura's life. Where there's been a kind of a spirit to try and steal and undermine, and particularly the accusatory voice, we silence that today. And I thank you for the voice of God just permeating your head and your mind in a brand new way. God loves you. He thinks you're great. He's made you for such a time as this. You are precious in the sight of God. You are like no other because he's made you like no other. But you just need to be reminded his spirit hems you in. You cannot run away from God. And he doesn't want you to run away from him either. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just celebrate Jesus a little bit together, shall we? Oh, we praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think just in the last few moments, I mean, we've got loads to do. There's teas and coffees, and if you want to do Discover, you can. But for me, what's really, really good to do now is just go and find someone. Maybe you haven't chatted with them yet today. Maybe you've just been a bit too busy doing stuff, and you kind of haven't had a chat. Just go and find someone and say, I'd love to pray with you. What can we pray about for this week? And then we can grab a drink, tea or coffee or whatever, and Discover will start at 12. Is there anything else I need to do, Andrew? Nope. So it'd be great just to find someone, maybe I haven't chatted with them yet, just going to say, let's pray about something this week. Do it. From over here, though, is that okay? Come on, Myrna. What, people stood up or sat down?
When we first started, I had this verse on my heart. For all of us, I think, and maybe particularly for some of us, it's Isaiah 62. It says, you shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And this night, I had a dream about a diamond. I won't share all of it. But then I felt that God sees us in the spirit as diamonds. And I was thinking more about what diamonds are. They are coal, actually put under great pressure. And over time, they become very precious and very, very strong diamonds. And some of us are like that. They feel they are a coal under pressure, but then God is bringing a beautiful, strong diamond that will shine. And with diamonds as well, they have many facets. And a bit of light shines and into different directions and different light. And they're very beautiful if you put them in dark places. And the same thing, you know, with us, with a bit of light of Jesus in us, that we think, oh, I've only have got this flicker of light. But then when he shines on us in the diamond, in us, he sees us, this flicker of light shines in the dark places. And this is what we are. And more diamonds as well. I saw like a crown with lots of diamonds. They shine stronger and they're quite tough. You know, they break glass. You know, and that's what God wants to do in us, to make us, even in under pressure, he's bringing diamonds. And we're going to be like tough, beautiful, shining, you know, church of God and people. Who are we? Are in his hand, it says. We are a royal diadem in the hand of your God. So that's who we are. Amen?
Brilliant. Thanks, Myrna. Well, if that's kind of resonated in your heart, it's like, actually, yeah, I just need to toughen up a bit. Pray with some of these ladies in the small group, apologies. So anybody that's got a bunch of flowers, or Andrea, bless you. See you later.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.